Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Will you go to heaven? I've had that question asked of me several times in my lifetime. It's a good question. You've probably had it asked of you as well. Maybe you've even asked that question of other people before. I've seen it many times driving up and down the interstates and see that sign or that question, that type of a question on the interstate. And what is the answer to it? How do you answer it? How have you heard other people answer it? Will you go to heaven? Most people have a mental image of heaven, maybe some sort of a spiritual paradise of some sort, lots of beautiful clouds, angels, wings, halos, that sort of thing. And they usually also think of people who have died and gone to heaven. You have heard people talk about when they get to the pearly gates, that's supposed to be the entrance into heaven. And once you enter in through those pearly gates, you see all of these souls of people who have died, righteous people, good people who have died and gone to heaven, and they're gathered together in different groups and maybe in some sort of a trance-like condition, just staring at the face of God, beholding the face of the Lord, they say, playing on harps. That's what most people think about when they think about, will you go to heaven? But is that what the Bible says? Now, it is a good question. It is a good subject. And after all, we need to see what has proceeded out of the mouth of God concerning this subject. What the Bible says is that heaven is the place of God's throne. It is where God the Father dwells. It is where Jesus Christ currently dwells. It's where the headquarters of government is of all things throughout this universe, all things that you can see and all things that you cannot see, things that are invisible. That's where the seat of government and rulership is. Do you know what else the Bible says absolutely about heaven? According to your Bible, heaven is absolutely not the promised reward of saved Christians. It is not the promised reward of saved Christians. Now, that may be a shocking statement to many of you, and most people have been taught that it is the reward of the saved. It is what most people have accepted, without proof, by the way. Most people have accepted that going to heaven is the very goal and the very hope of this life. But is that true? Is that what the Bible itself teaches about this subject? How much do you know about it? Now let's dig into the Bible and see exactly what the words of God say about this and see what it has to say about heaven and the reward of the saved. First of all, we need to establish a fact from the Bible that many people are surprised to learn. If you go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, if you have your Bibles with you, all the way back to Genesis 1, and we'll look at the first chapter. And we'll start even with the very first verse of the book of Genesis. But the Bible, in fact, reveals that there's not just one heaven. There are three heavens. And right in the very first verse, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And if you look up that word heaven, you'll see that it is plural. It should read heavens, plural, with an S on the end of it. And we can see even from right here in Genesis chapter 1, that there, in fact, is more than one heaven. If you'll turn forward to verse 20, this is talking about God recreating this earth and what he created to fill this earth and the skies. And in verse 20, it says, "God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Now here is heaven being talked about, and it's talking about the earthly atmosphere. Now this is, as you very well know, there's a blanket of life-sustaining gases that encircles our globe, encircles this earth. And here, God calls that a heaven. This is the first heaven, we could call it, and it's where the birds fly. And if you look in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28, it talks about that this very same heaven is where the dew falls from. Now, no one thinks that the dew falls from heaven where God dwells, and it doesn't fall from outer space. It falls from the earth's atmosphere. So clearly, the Bible reveals that there is a heaven, and it is the earth's atmosphere that encircles this globe. There is another heaven mentioned right here in Genesis chapter 1 as well. If we back up just a few verses, back up to verse 14, and let me read this to you. Verse 14 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Now here God talks about the firmament of the heaven having lights in it. It's talking about obviously the sun and the moon and stars, things like that. This is talking about outer space. And here this is called a heaven. Just like Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, God created the heavens, plural, with an S, more than one. We've already seen that the first heaven is the earth's atmosphere where the birds fly. But now here is the second heaven here in verse 14. And it clearly is outer space where the sun and the moon and the stars and the comets and planets and things such as that are, and the sun and the moon and the stars were obviously put there for lights and for seasons and days and years. Even today, we can tell the seasons, and we can count days and we can count years by looking at those celestial bodies. Verse 15 says, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." So clearly here, we see right in Genesis 1 that there are heavens, plural. And the first heaven is the earth's atmosphere. The second heaven is the expanded, vast outer space where we find the sun and the moon and stars, comets and planets and the like. Now, there is another heaven spoken of, and this is the one most people are talking about when they talk about heaven, but we do need to understand what the Bible actually says about this subject fully. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven." So here the Apostle Paul even refers to another heaven. And he obviously knew about the first two heavens, the first heaven being the earth's atmosphere, the second heaven, if you will, being outer space. And here he actually refers to this as the third heaven. And this is the abode of God. This is the location of God's throne room and the seat of government and the ruling authority of all the universe. As a matter of fact, as a side note, Jesus Christ even said that heaven, that it is God's throne. God's throne is there. And by the way, that's why we better not swear by heaven. And Christ, it tells us not to do that because it is God's throne. Now, in verse 4 of this very same chapter here in 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul calls this place paradise. He does, in fact, call it paradise. But what does he mean by paradise? Does he mean lots of babies floating around and angels with long flowing golden hair, maybe lots of halos, beautiful clouds, lots of harps being played? Well, the Bible actually gives us more insight into what God's throne room is like and what heaven really is like. Turn over to Revelation 4, and you'll see this in vivid detail. There's quite a panoramic view described here in Revelation 4. And there's a lot of pageantry here in heaven at God's throne room. And there's a lot of power. After all, this is his throne room. This is the heavenly throne room where all the universe is governed. Revelation 4 and verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So here John has a vision. It's through the Spirit of God that he has this vision, and he actually is able to see right into the throne of God set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardius stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. Now here is the real picture of heaven. Notice this, and round about the throne were 24 seats. These are other positions of rulership under God and under Christ. These are where the 24 great angels are that sit there on other seats of authority, other thrones, if you will. 24. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. These are great and powerful righteous angels that sit around God's throne. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God, 7 other great angels. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts. It means 4 living creatures. They look like beasts that are here on this earth. The things that are on this earth actually are a type of what is in that third heaven. And these are 4 great living angels that are referred to as beasts here. And they're full of eyes before and behind. And it goes on and talks about how some of these angels look like lions and a calf, and one has the face of a man and another one of an eagle. And it goes on and describes some of these angels and what they're doing and how they're singing and praising God and worshiping God. That's what the Bible says about it. And you don't see anything about little babies or people playing on harps. You see a very dignified, powerful pageantry type of environment. An environment full of pageantry and power and authority. This is the great God and his throne room. Now, you may find it interesting to learn that also about the third heaven, in addition to Revelation 4, we're told that what was in the physical tabernacle in ancient Israel, those physical things were types of things in heaven. So we don't know about every detail of God's throne, but we know what Revelation 4 says. And we also know that in that tabernacle, there was a lampstand, there was a table, there was showbread, there were other artifacts, all of that. You can study that in Hebrews 8 and also in Hebrews 9, where those physical things were a type of what is in heaven, in the third heaven at God's throne. We understand now that there are, in fact, 3 heavens mentioned in the Bible. We've looked at a little detail about what the third heaven is. We need to see what the Bible says about heaven being the reward of the saved, or heaven not being the reward of the saved. The Bible, in no uncertain terms, the Bible, in no ambiguous terms, gives us the plain and direct answer. And that answer is going to shock many, and we're going to answer that and look and see what the Bible says about it right after the break.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG, streaming live online at kpcg.fm, also live streaming at thetrumpet.com. When you're at thetrumpet.com, make sure you sign up for the Trumpet magazine. It's a free subscription, and it'll be sent to you. You can have it sent to your house, you can get the physical magazine, or you can download it and put it on the smart device of your choice. Make sure you get the Trumpet magazine, detailing news headlines, and showing you what it means in relation to Bible prophecy. Great in-depth analysis. The Trumpet Magazine. It's a free subscription. Get it at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's begin the second half of this episode by looking at some very plain words of Jesus Christ. Very direct, very simple instruction. Now, in previous programs, we've looked at John chapter 3, and we've noted that this was quite an important chapter where Nicodemus, one of the leading Pharisees of the day, came to Jesus Christ by night, and he had some questions for Jesus Christ. He and the other Pharisees knew that he was a teacher sent from God, and specifically he had questions about being born again. Jesus Christ went in and explained to him things about the kingdom of God and what being born again means. And so we've covered that in previous programs, but here in John 3 and verse 13, this is still Christ talking directly to Nicodemus. Notice this very plain statement. And no man, this is Jesus Christ himself talking, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, if heaven is the reward of the saved, as so many believe, and as so many sincerely believe, and as so many teach, so many ministers out there teach this, and they're very sincere about it, many of them, most of them, no doubt. But if heaven is the reward of the saved, then why did Jesus Christ plainly state that no man has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ? Why? Is that shocking to you? Now look, we don't want to offend anyone unnecessarily, and we just want you to get to know your Bible. Look, believe what your Bible says. Look it up for yourself. Pull out your Bible if you haven't done so in a while. It may be astounding to you, but this scripture says just what I read to you, and it means just what it says. Jesus Christ means what he says. No man, it says. That means Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That means the Old Testament prophets. That means Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel. It means that they have not gone to heaven. Heaven upon death was not their reward. That's what Jesus Christ says. No one has gone to heaven. There are no souls of the saved in heaven. And that means that heaven cannot be the reward of the saved. Now that's just simply what Jesus Christ said. He said, quoting Christ himself, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And he's talking about himself. Now people don't like to believe this plain statement of Jesus Christ, yet this is what your Bible teaches. It's what your Savior taught. Now you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe any man. We don't want you to do that. And God doesn't want you to do that, but God does tell us to believe Jesus Christ. Do you believe Christ? I mean, after all, it's not my words. I'm not saying that. Jesus Christ said that to Nicodemus about 2,000 years ago on this earth. Look it up for yourself and believe Christ, not any man. Believe and live by every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what Christ tells us to do. And these are some of those very important words. Let's look at another very plain teaching of the New Testament. You'll see, if you want to turn there real quickly, Acts chapter 13. It's talking here about King David. And in Acts chapter 13, in verse 22, it says that King David was a man after God's own heart. Now, you can look that up for yourself and see that. So David, he's a man, you know, that lived about 3,000 years ago. He lived about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ made that statement in John 3 to Nicodemus. So if heaven is the reward of the saved, and if King David was a man after God's own heart, and by the way, you can, if you want to jot down some notes and go look at this later, Acts chapter 7, verses 45 through 46, also shows that King David found favor with God. So David, a man that lived 1,000 years before Christ said no man had ascended to heaven, he was a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22 says so. And he was a man that found favor with God. Acts 7 and verse 45 and verse 46 says so. And then notice now with that in mind, a man after God's own heart, a man who found favor with God. And here, if you look at Acts chapter 2, we'll pick it up here in verse 29. This is the Apostle Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. This is just after the Holy Spirit had been given. And this was, in fact, the first sermon that Peter preached, inspired by and filled with God's Holy Spirit. And this was after Jesus' death. Now, some people would say, well, Christ said that because in John chapter 3, well, Christ said that because He hadn't died and become our Savior and been resurrected, and he hadn't gone back up to heaven at that time. But now here, this is Acts chapter 2. This is after Jesus Christ had died, after he had been resurrected, after he had ascended unto his Father in heaven. And notice what the Apostle Peter says. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. David, this great patriarch, a man after God's own heart, he found favor with God, in fact, and yet he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day, Peter said. Notice verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens. For David is not ascended into the heavens. This is actually, it's talking about David is dead and buried, very clearly. He's dead, he's buried, he's with us here to this day, his sepulcher is with us here to this day. And he has not ascended up to heaven. Jesus Christ has. So after Christ was dead and had in fact returned to the third heaven at God's throne, David was still dead and buried and had not ascended into the heavens. He had not gone up through the first heaven and through the second heaven and entering into the third heaven. He had not. Now, that's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. The question is, do you believe what God's word says? Do you believe the plain teachings of your Bible? Do you believe and will you live by every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God and been inspired to be written here in the pages of the Bible? Okay, let's look at one other verse. I think we have time today to look at one other verse that has confused many people, but it doesn't need to confuse people. Again, most people are confused by these verses because they have some preconceived ideas about what the Bible says, and no doubt they are, most of them for sure, are sincere, but we need to honestly look at the Bible and believe it and then live by it. Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin here in verse 39. Now here Jesus is hanging on the stake. He's being crucified. And as most of you, I'm sure, know, there were two criminals, two malefactors that were crucified with him, one on each side. And in verse 39, it says, and one of the malefactors who were hanged railed at him, saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. So this man was a criminal, and he was continuing to act like one, to say the least. But verse 40 says, the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. So there's one criminal who is continuing to act like a criminal and think like a criminal, and the other one admits, well, he has been a criminal, but you can see that there's some element here of repentance, some element of remorse, and he recognizes the fact that he deserves what is happening to him, but that Jesus Christ did not, that Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong. And then that criminal, that malefactor, said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And here's the verse that confuses so many people. And Jesus said unto him, truly I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. So people take that statement where Christ said, truly I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. They take that statement to mean that Jesus and this criminal were going to die that very day, and on that very day go straight to heaven and be in paradise. Is that what Jesus Christ is saying? The answer and the truth of this scripture really lies in the proper punctuation. Punctuation was not used in the original Greek. Now, you may not know that, but it's a fact. You can prove it, and you can look it up, and any good commentary will tell you that. The original Greek in which Luke wrote this account did not use punctuation. The comma before the word today in verse 43 was added by men later. The inspired Greek could be read with the comma before the word today or with the comma after the word today. And as you know, that totally changes the meaning of a sentence. You can say, let's eat, comma, grandma, or you can say, let's eat grandma with no comma. Totally changes the context of the sentence. And that's exactly the same here with this verse. Now, to be honest and to be fair, in the original Greek, it could read either way. You could put the comma before the word today, or you could put the comma after the word today, and it totally changes the meaning. So since it can be read either way, we have to let the remainder of the Bible interpret what Christ said. Now, we've already looked at some of these other plain statements from the Bible, and they say what they say. But also, let's think about this. Did Christ go straight to heaven on this day? He went into the grave on that day that he died, but he didn't stay there, but he did go there. And notice now, we'll just skip, let's go forward to the book of John, and we'll just see clearly the answer. Obviously, that conversation between Christ and the criminal took place while he was alive on the day he was being crucified. Jesus Christ said he would be dead and in the grave for 3 days, then he would be resurrected. Notice here, John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher and seized the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So this now is the fourth day after that conversation took place between Christ and the criminal. 4 days later, at the beginning of the fourth day, and she goes to the grave and the stone had been removed and Jesus was not there. Now skip down to verse 11. And Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So he had already been resurrected at this point. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weep you?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when they had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but she knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weep you? Whom seek you?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you have borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." She thought that this gardener had drugged Jesus' body out of the grave. And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Now, Jesus Christ, this is the fourth day after he had died. This is the fourth day after he made that comment in Luke 23 and verse 43 to the criminal. And he still had not ascended to his Father in heaven. He still had not ascended. Obviously, the comma in Luke 23 and verse 43 should be placed after the word today. Jesus Christ was saying, "Look, I'm telling you today that you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in the kingdom of God." By using the word today, Christ was stressing the time, the day that he was making the promise, not the time and the day that the thief would be with Christ in God's kingdom. Obviously, that's the case based on these other verses that we've read, and also based on this very fact that here it is the very fourth day after that statement was made, and Jesus Christ said to Mary that he still had not ascended to his Father in heaven. The truth about heaven is easily summarized. It is God's throne. It's the current seat of government, but it is not the promised reward of the saved. There are many more details here that we need to study and that we will study in future programs. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.